Hello and welcome to Above the Laughs, the podcast that takes place above the world-famous Laugh Factory in Chicago. I'm your host, Matt Chiaramonte. Today I sat down with Danny Callis and Mike Stanley. Danny and Mike are two of the most prolific comics performing in Chicago today. You can regularly see them both performing right here at Laugh Factory Chicago. They're here all the time. They tour. They're all over the city. Mike's originally from Detroit, but they've been in Chicago doing stand-up for about 7 years. And they know all like everything there is to know about the Chicago scene, and that's what we discuss. You know, all kinds of the history of the stand-up here in Chicago. Can you sustain a career in comedy in Chicago? And this is kind of a personal topic for both of them, since they're kind of both at that point where comics tend to leave Chicago, and Mike is leaving to pursue stand-up in L.A. or New York, and Danny plans on staying here. So they get into a great discussion about that. And I mostly just sit back and watch. They're two very smart, well-spoken people, and it was just an honor to stand there holding a mic. I hope you enjoy the talk as much as I did. Please give a listen to Danny Callis and Mike Stanley. Thank you.
I started stand-up almost 7 years ago, and Mike started in Chicago about 7 years ago.
No, I started in Detroit.
I'm saying you started
in Chicago,
you
moved, yeah. 7 years ago.
Yeah, 7 years ago. So we pretty much, about 6 months longer than I've been in the scene, Mike has. And so we both came along in the scene at about the same time. And the scene's changed a lot since we started, maybe about 150 comedians when we started.
Really?
Yeah, there weren't a lot in comparison to now, anyway. And I think it's... go ahead, I'll let you continue.
And now, if there's not at least 350, if you'd include the North Side, South Side, West Side, and suburbs, I'd be very surprised.
Really? Well, if you look at just the list of people going up at Kohl's on any given Wednesday, at the open mic at Kohl's, that's what, 60 people?
Yeah, well, the big deal, easily, right before we got into the scene, there was this, an open mic called the Lion's Den. It was at the Lion's Den, Lion's Den open mic, and the big deal was to have 50 comedians on a Monday night. And that was huge.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that from Detroit, because when I first started, you know, you get those ideas like, oh, this is amazing and I want to do this and I want to start traveling. And then I met a few people who, I don't even think they do it anymore, but they were like, we should all get in the van and go to Chicago and hit the Lion's Den. And I was just like, and we never ended up doing it because I just ended up moving here.
Uh-huh.
I was out of commission by the time I moved here, but I remember hearing about the Lion's Den.
Of course, and I'm not taking anything away from the Lion's Den, because a lot of people came up during that time.
Yeah,
they're huge now.
There's like Pete Holmes, TJ, and Vatterott, right? Was Vatterott here?
Brady Novak.
Yeah, Buscemi.
John Roy.
John Roy. All those dudes.
I know we're missing a few, but
there's probably
along those lines. But I'm saying, like, it was a big deal to have 50 comedians at an open mic one night a week. And now you got at least four nights a week where you have 50 comedians at multiple open mics.
It's funny because there's still those guys around too who did that open mic, like Bill Cruz was a guy who was around.
Yeah, Bill
Cruz,
Diamond Jay Harris.
Jay Harris, Crocious.
Crocious,
right?
CJ Sullivan, Sean Flannery.
Yeah.
Has like the amount of clubs and stuff. Do you think that kept up with the?
Well, that's another thing too. Yeah, I mean, so when we started out, you had Zanies, and you had Jokes and Notes. Those were not only the only two clubs in Chicago proper; they were the only two clubs in the whole entire area,
right?
Besides Barrel Laughs on the South Side.
Yeah, I don't know if Riddles kind of opened and closed.
They were
like opening and closing, and then there was the one in Aurora, which wasn't actually it wasn't a legit club. It was more of like, you know. They did comedy there on Thursdays or Fridays or whatever it was.
But now you're talking, I mean, you got the Laugh Factory, you got the Improv on Schaumburg, you got Up Comedy Club. Yeah, so there's
a comedy bar.
Comedy bar. So with the number of comedians, definitely maybe 2.5 times the amount than when we started 7 years ago in the scene.
Yeah, and now you've got, and you pretty much helped shape this just with the advent of Comedians You Should Know.
Right.
Where, you know, all these guys kind of took the formula for that and then just, took that and just rolled with it. And now we have all these amazing showcases that are so similar to that, but it's just like they really put together a kick-ass scene.
Besides the clubs, you maybe had about four comedian produced showcases. Right. Now there's about three comedian produced showcases a night.
Yeah, which is pretty great if you're just kind of rolling through town and you're, you know, from New York or LA or just, you know, Kansas, or you're just flinging through and you want to check out Chicago because you're doing guest spots at one of these clubs. You can also hit, you know, three or four of these amazing showcases and meet everybody in the scene. So it's funny, people talk about it all the time because I travel a lot and people are just like, man, Chicago is just like on fire right now. And it's like, it's great. There's a lot of really great places to perform and a lot of really great comedians there.
But I believe your initial question was asking Mike and I if you could make a living here.
Can you
know, I can't speak for sure for Mike, but I believe at least the last 3 years this is all you've been doing.
Since 2004 I've been making a living as a comedian pretty much.
I've had
two jobs in there where I waited tables and got fired from both because I didn't give a shit about either one of them enough to commit to being good at that. You know, I was always, so if it ever came down to you're touring too much or doing too much comedy to work here, I was like, I'm fucking out of here.
How much touring are you both doing?
Well, the craziest thing is, as far as myself, I've, over the last year is when I started, this is all I do now is stand-up comedy.
Right.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, the last 5 months, I have not even left the Chicago area.
Really?
Yeah, that's great.
Because you're talking about all the clubs that are here. And the little showcase is $20 here, $20 there. It adds up.
Yeah.
Am I making a living? I mean, yes, technically I am. I mean, the living's in quotes.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I can't. Like this Dunkin' Donuts, I went there because they got 99-cent lattes.
Right.
This was $1.69.
Yeah, you had to be real smart about it. Right. Yeah. But even I mean, I'm headlining all over the place, and I'm drinking the free coffee that was here. I didn't even go to Dunkin' Donuts. So it's the same thing.
It's a struggle. I mean, but I mean, we're not digging ditches. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we're telling jokes for a living.
You're not making your own coffee or like harvesting it. Or
I don't even know how to make coffee.
There you go. That's something. But
there isn't, to answer your question, you can make a living from here. And that was part of the reason I moved here, because I was in Detroit and I started there and I started getting work, but it was always, you know, when you start off, you're a feature, and there's not a lot of money in being a feature. You can't make a decent living. And I was already living on my own, and I was already 24, so I'd already, you know, I'd moved out of my parents' house, and I was living on my own. I wasn't about to move back in with my parents just to do comedy.
Right.
So as a feature, you know, you're not making a lot of money. And so for me, you know, it's a peninsula. You got to drive out of it all the time.
Right.
So that would add 2 and 3 hours out of my trip. And I love Chicago. And I wanted to move here, so the opportunity came along where the girl I was dating at the time got a job out here, and we just did it, and it was great, you know, for what it was. It's like, you're centrally located. I can make it to Wisconsin or Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, you know, predominantly a lot of Midwest stuff, and still keep a reasonable amount of money in my pocket from doing that, even as a feature, and then start headlining, and it's like, okay, now I have a little bit more money.
Okay.
You know, so.
Well, do you think, even though you can, you know, make a living.
Now, I just want to let you know, I mean, what Mike and I are doing, it's not the norm.
Sure.
And you could maybe name 5 or 6 other comedians that are based out of Chicago that are doing what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're in for the long haul and you want to stay here and see if you can make a living, it could be done if you're talented enough and driven enough. But not many people have that patience.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a lot of work and in order to make any money and be somewhat comfortable doing this. Like, you have to literally be on it every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not only performing and writing, but you have to be on the computer trying to get work and figuring things out and working out schedules and doing guest spots and showcasing in new clubs. And, I mean, you have to constantly stick with it.
So does it really matter where you are? Is it easier to do this elsewhere? If you, like, in LA or New York, do you think that it's...
If you're in the Midwest, you need to be here.
Right.
All right? Now, I think Chicago is an amazing platform for comedy, and I'm glad I spent the years here that I did, but I can't be here anymore. I've hit a ceiling, and there's nothing else for me to do here. And I'm not really getting any opportunities here.
Right.
Even when...
Outside of stand-up?
Well, yeah, outside of stand-up, but even in stand-up, I get passed over for stuff that I could really use, you know. And because there's so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's so many different cliques of things. Like, you know, a Comedy Central showcase just rolled through. And it was done at the Lincoln Lodge. I'm not a member of the Lincoln Lodge. You know, I'm not a cast member there because they have 5 or 6 or 7 people that they have on their cast that work there regularly. And... Comedy Central comes through, I don't get an audition because I'm not a cast member, though. So they use their cast members and five or six more people that they think deserve it, and if I'm not one of those people... And a lot of times I'm not, because I'm not around, and I don't know if people just assume that because I'm working all the time, I'm doing really well, and I couldn't use something like that.
Right.
But for me, I'm just kind of burnt out on it, so... I need to make the jump to either one, really, at this point. I mean, I'm thinking Los Angeles, but I just got back from New York, and every time I come back from New York, I always think, like, that's the place to be if you want to be a comedian.
Right.
So it's tough. It's tough right now.
Do you think that Chicago is kind of viewed in general as a, like, stepping stone in, like, the comedy world that, like, you know,
it's a big stepping stone.
Like
you have New York and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then you have Chicago under that, and then you have nothing near Chicago.
Right.
I mean, there's great scenes,
mm-hmm.
like Boston, San Francisco,
Minneapolis, is really strong.
Minneapolis,
yeah.
Austin.
Denver, yeah.
But I mean, nothing even comes close to Chicago as far as that second tier.
Yeah, and I think that makes us what we are, and I think that's why the scene is so good, because there's nobody looking at us and looking at how great it is. It's like, we know how great it is.
Yeah.
But you get to watch people in their own element where there's no industry here, so it doesn't matter what we do. You can experiment
right.
with anything, and there's no real... You're not going to take a hit. The stakes are pretty low in
mm-hmm.
regard to fucking up a major audition or something like
right.
that, just because we don't have those. You know?
Do you think... I mean, that's something that, you know, is always kind of bubbling, and they built that big production studio just in Chicago recently. Do you think that if there was, you know, a lot of... if there was a studio here and a lot of, like, you know, TV shows and movies
yeah.
being made, would that affect the
well
state
I mean
state?
it's I mean, yes, it is viewed in people's eyes as a stepping stone,
yeah.
yes, without a doubt, not only the general public but also Chicago comedians. I don't want it to be viewed that way, but
yeah.
it would take many years in order for that to build up. I mean, the only way that would happen, I mean, local comedians would have to, they'd have to sacrifice their own individual careers
yeah.
for that to happen.
Right.
Like the average Chicago comedian, Mike and I should not, in order, according to the average Chicago comedian that stays here, we should have left about a year and a half
ago. I should have left about 3 years ago.
Yeah. And so we're still here. And,
yeah.
I tried
to stick it out. I literally did. I stuck around this past 2 years because these clubs are popping up and certain things are starting to happen. And I felt like there was a sense of momentum, but it's so slow. And it's taking so long that I'm past that. I just kind of outgrew the scene, and I know that sounds like me being kind of shitty, but I just feel like there's not a whole lot left for me. I'm headlining everything I do in all these clubs in the Midwest. My pay is not going to go up because I'm not on television, and I can't get on television from here because
right.
no one's plucking people out because everything's filmed in New York and Los Angeles.
Right.
So. In that regard, there's really nothing else I can do. I make a comfortable living. I have a condo on the beach, you know what I mean? I like where I live. I like Chicago, but it's, for me, it's frustrating because I don't have, I'm not getting the inspiration that I need. When you go to New York and LA and you're sitting down and just watching a show, or you get to be on a showcase and Bill Burr walks in,
yeah.
or, you know, you get to see Patton, or... You know, Gaffigan, you know, pops in to do a spot. You're just like, you know, you get to watch these guys who are amazing at what they do, and it just inspires you. We don't really have that here. And not to say that I don't watch my friends and get inspired by them, because I do. I learned so much watching, like, Lebo and Kilgallen and you know, Danny and all those guys of the Comedians You Should Know and stuff like that. Like, I've learned a lot watching them over the years, but, you know, it would be nice to I mean, that's where all the behemoths live. The
right.
beasts in comedy live on the coasts, and unfortunately, that's where you need to be in order to, you know, to see that and to.
You're right.
To kind
I
of
agree
learn
with
from
that.
That.
Right now, I feel like yeah, that's where you need to be.
Do you
I
feel
also
like that's
feel
like inevitable for you at some
I,
point.
I think it is inevitable unless people sacrifice their own individual careers, and I couldn't ask that. I love the city and I love the scene so
right.
much, and no, I'm not going to ask anybody to be a maniac like I am
yeah.
about it. We're recording this right now, and in 2 years, I'll probably be in New York or LA. So
yeah.
who am I to say
right.
that I won't move? It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
If there was one late night talk show that filmed here,
yeah.
I think that would change the landscape of comedy here completely. And I don't know why someone wouldn't do it.
Well, maybe Pete Holmes' talk show just got picked up. Maybe.
Do you think I don't think he would film it here.
You don't
though.
Think so?
No, a weekly show could not work here. But a daily show
daily,
cannot
nightly,
work here.
Nightly.
A nightly show, but a weekly show, like a Chris Rock show or Dennis
right.
Miller,
yeah.
or Bill Marshall, something along those lines, where you only need to get one big guest in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. They could film it at the Chicago Theater. That could work easily on HBO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think if there was more opportunities even in that regard, I think it would. Right. I mean, it would help the entire scene, too, because it would help a lot of these people in this city who are really talented just get booked.
Right.
I mean, I get booked because I work my ass off, and I'm constantly putting myself in front of people who don't know who I am, but a lot of these people don't have that bone in them, so it's like they could use that exposure. They're good enough to go on tour. They're good enough to work clubs. They just... they don't know how to, you know, they don't know how to go about it, and that type of exposure and such a broad, you know, televised landscape would catapult their careers. There's a lot of really funny people here, but it's, they're just doing stuff around the city. It's like you got to get out at some point.
How do you feel what I was saying, though, Mike, about if like you were saying, Matt, you were asking me if it's
if enough people stay?
Yes, now it is, but I've thought about this a few times. Yeah, if enough people stay. Instead of the average,
we've talked about this. You and I have talked about this in length, I think, before.
Right. If, like, say that the comedians that are considered the top in the city right now,
right.
instead of saying 5 or 6 years like the average comedian in Chicago, if they stay 10, sacrifice a little bit of their careers for the scene,
sure.
and then eventually move to New York or LA after 10 years, and then the next generation stayed about 12 years,
yeah.
and then a generation after that stayed about 15. Wouldn't it become just like New York?
It's not going to without television. They don't shoot anything.
But wouldn't they come here, though? If people were staying here, if they stayed here 10 years...
Would television come here?
Yeah.
I don't think they would.
No.
I don't think they would. I mean, you might get some young buck who's got a wild hair up their ass and has an amazing, you know, a film resume in regard to living in the city and going to Columbia or something like that, who's like, I want to start a talk show in Chicago. That might happen. I'm not going to say it's not, but the people who are in Los Angeles aren't going to come freeze their dick off in Chicago to shoot.
But what about like all those people that you mentioned that were here that left, that whole list of people? Like if they had stayed here,
like all of those comedians,
yeah, like they had.
If all of those comedians stayed here, they would have never gotten any television exposure, and they would have been understudies for any headliner who flung into town to work any one of these clubs. Because that's essentially what it is.
That's the sacrifice.
That's essentially what it is. You want to stay here and be a headliner in the Midwest? You're an understudy for any comedian who's a headliner flinging in from either coast. And I'll tell you that flat out because that's exactly what I am.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how if you're funnier than that.
Yeah, I'm headlining tonight only because someone from Los Angeles isn't in town.
Right.
You know? I'll feature at Up because the headliner has television credits. I'll feature at the Improv. They won't headline me because the headliner maybe had a 5-minute spot on a show that was funny.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that's the way they do bookings. I'm just giving you an example of what, you know, what does happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've had to open up for guys who aren't even stand-ups, but who are actors who their managers told them to get into stand-up because it's an easy way for them to make money.
And then I go out and I
do well because I do this every night and it's all I think about.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go up and eat shit because they're not a comedian. But everyone's there to see them because they're on television. So you know.
But yeah, if you did get a show like Pete Holmes' new show, if you got them to do it out of Chicago, you
come back here,
I mean, you need some powerhouses to transform the scene.
You do, and I think imagine how amazing that would be if Pete was like, "I want to do the show in Chicago."
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're almost like, "I wonder if Kanane would move back." You know what I mean? He's from DuPage. Yeah. He's from here.
Right.
So you're like, I wonder if, you know, all those guys... And you know they love coming back here because they're the fucking kings of Chicago comedy.
Because
I don't know that there's ever been an...
All I talked about was Chicago.
I don't know that there's ever been an exodus like that where a group of comedians from anywhere went to L.A. or New York and just, like, dominated it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they dominated.
That's never happened. And the only thing I can think of that's even slightly comparable was the big boom in Boston back in the day with Stephen Wright and Kenny Rogerson and... You know, Lenny Clark and all those guys. But they didn't go anywhere. They stayed in Boston and people found that and capitalized
on it.
That's
what I'm saying. So it is possible.
Yeah.
And then I also say, like, I mean, you got New York and LA, and I know we're second tier compared to them, but we're also our third tier.
But you go to New York, though, and I don't feel like I left Chicago when I'm in New York.
Yeah.
I just got back from there Monday, and I'm like...
3 million people here.
Yeah.
9 million in a metropolitan area. It's not a cow town.
Right.
I mean, this is a huge metropolis.
Yeah.
All right? And I don't know. I feel like a lot of comedians treat it like it is a cow town, like mm-hmm. it is just a stepping stone. Yeah. Or maybe if they got in their mindset that, yeah, we could make this
but
bigger.
I never did that.
I don't think you did.
I go out and I brag about it all the time. Yeah. When people are like, what's Chicago like? What's the scene like? And people who don't know about it, I'm like, it's fucking incredible.
Do you think that, like, because, first, and Chicago became known as, like, an improv town, that affected, like, people, like, recognizing the stand, like, the
I think that absolutely has something to do with it. But it makes sense, though, because when you look at what was coming out of here, comedy-wise, for the longest time, it was improv. But now, that's starting to shift because of Pete Holmes, because of Kinane, because of Kumail, because of TJ, because of those guys who went to L.A. and just, like, destroyed. Now people are starting to look at Chicago and go, what the fuck's going on over there?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Which is, that's great. And I hope it does change. But I know that for me personally, I can't wait it out anymore. I'm a 34-year-old man, and I'm constantly borderlining being broke, and every gig that I take is a gamble just to stay alive in this. So I gotta go somewhere where I have a little bit more opportunity.
So what's your goal going out there? What is going to change when you go out there that you can't get done here?
I feel like I'll be in front of more people who potentially could get me a late night spot on Conan, on Fallon, on, you know, any one of them. Because then my pay grade goes up.
Cool. You're not specifically going for trying to branch out from stand up. You want to keep doing stand-up.
No, I mean, I don't even want to be an actor. I want to be a stand. I want people to know who they're buying a ticket to. When they buy the ticket to go see. You know what I mean? I want people to go, oh, Mike Stanley, when is he coming to my town? That's what I want. I want people to buy my albums. I want people to anticipate a new album. I want people to buy my ticket from my site, mm-hmm. not from the fucking comedy club site.
You don't want a person going to see generic comedy, but you want them to go see Mike Stanley.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the one thing, if you can get to a point in your career where when you get off stage and nobody ever says to you again, I gotta say, I thought you were actually funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which basically means they weren't expecting you to be funny because you don't play a janitor on a sitcom.
Yeah. Right.
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 And that's it. They have no idea who you are. Wow, I can't believe that you were funny.
Yeah, their friend dragged them to comedy night from, you know, their friend from work was like, we should all go out and do, you know, go watch comedy, and they're like, oh, I'm surprised I had a good time tonight.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, what the fuck do you think we're doing in here?
You're making a living. I mean,
yeah.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. I know the show is starting pretty soon, so you guys have to go, but I really appreciate it, and I hope, like...
But just to recap, though, the scene is amazing, and part of that is not only due to those people in Los Angeles who you know, moved from here and cut their teeth here, and went out there and destroyed, but because of guys like Danny who put together these showcases, and then people modeled their showcases after the one that he built. I mean, mm-hmm. comedians, you should know, right. pretty much set the bar for Chicago comedy showcases put together by and for comedians. I mean, it's the best show you're going to see in the city, hands
down. And
people
can look at
where thank you, man. Yeah, comediansyoushouldknow.com. Yeah, we love the scene. I mean, Mike's moving in a little bit, but he loves it.
Yeah.
He'll be back all the time. I know that. He's going to get his credit on Fallon, and then he's going to move back.
And get headline, a talk show, and then bring it here.
Headline up, fine. Yeah. Right. Instead of headliners big time in the green room. We don't need to talk about that. Matt, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot, man. Great show tonight, man. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Alright, well, that will do it for Mike Stanley and Danny Callis. Thank you for listening to Above the Laughs, the podcast that takes place above Laugh Factory. And you can come on down to Laugh Factory and see any of either of those two comedians, plus tons of other fantastic comics, right here at Laugh Factory Chicago at Belmont Broadway. Thanks for listening to this podcast. We'll be back next time with somebody else in the world of comedy. But until then, have a nice day. That's my catchphrase.